From the capital city of Texas with reporters across the Lone Star State, you're listening to live special coverage of election night in Texas. This is the Texas Standard.
Texas Standard is a production of KUT Austin, KERA North Texas, Houston Public Media, and Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
I'm David Brown. Polls are just now closing across Texas, and in just a few minutes we'll be hearing from reporting partners in El Paso, Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and beyond on a night that may well set election records and make history in many ways. Democrats hoping to flip control of the Texas House. Congressional seats once reliably Republican are battlegrounds, and the race for Texas's 38 electoral votes is reported to be tighter than at any time in decades. Special coverage of election night from the Texas Standard gets underway right after this. No matter where you are, you're part of an historic night for the Lone Star State and the rest of the nation. I'm David Brown, and you're tuned into special coverage of election night in Texas from the Texas Standard. The polls are now officially closed in Texas, except in El Paso, Hudspeth, and Hidalgo, and Upshur counties. Those sites will close at 8. The caveat here, if you're already in line when the polling sites close, you're entitled to cast your ballot. Now, in Hidalgo and Upshur counties, those hours were extended to 8 p.m. due to delays opening those sites this morning. At least 9.7 million Texans voted early, surpassing the total number of Texans casting a ballot on Election Day in 2016. And it's likely that before this evening is over, we'll have set more Election Day records. In the balance, Texas's 38 electoral votes in the presidential race, not since the 70s, has a Democratic presidential challenger won Texas. There's a closely watched U.S. Senate race in Texas set to be decided, too. All eyes on whether John Cornyn, the incumbent Republican, can stave off a challenge from Democratic contender M.J. Hagar, whose candidacy was fast building momentum and money in the final weeks of the contest. Several closely watched U.S. congressional seats from Texas in play, the suburbs believed to be especially volatile given Democratic gains in 2018, and control of the Texas House may be up for grabs. 9 seats could tip the balance of power in what has long been considered by many as a reliably red state, the presumption no longer so reliable, and as many Democrats will tell you, not ever really a true indicator of the electoral picture, more the result of who actually shows up at the polls. Speaking of those polling sites, our reporting partners across the state have been keeping an eye on how this election day has unfolded. Let's start off in the capital city of Texas. Mose Bouchel, reporter for KUT in Austin, joins us now. Mose, where are you this evening?
I'm here in East Austin, and I've been going around, spent today kind of visiting different polling areas, mostly on the east side here, but we had reporters, of course, all over the city checking with voters and seeing how things were going.
And how were things going? Were there lines today? I'd heard reports that perhaps things were moving along smoother than some had anticipated.
Oh, they sure were. I can say for myself and also for everyone else who is out, it seemed pretty consistent. You go to a polling place, there wouldn't be any lines. The people I talked to, would remark on it. Those voters that I did catch up with who waited today to vote, thinking maybe there'd be lines, maybe there'd be a wait, and nothing like that in any of the places I saw, and in many other spots. A lot of people thought it was because there was so much early voting, which there was a lot of here, like in many other places.
Are we getting any hints from perhaps the clerk of Travis County as to how Texans might have been casting their ballots? Are there any early numbers that you've heard?
Early numbers. I can take a look here and see. But the results are just coming in. I do know that we had a fair amount of mail-in, and then just a massive amount of early voting. In terms of statewide, people have been saying, there've been some research into this, that youth turnout was much higher than you might expect, and right now, we're kind of trying to figure out what that means in terms of the final results.
Yeah, that's right. The conventional wisdom was that Democrats were energized this year. We had a whole lot more younger Texans turning out at the polls. That is Mose Bouchel, reporter for KUT in Austin. Let's jump to Harris County, which is the state's most populous county, of course, and where there's been record-breaking early voting. It's a county at the center of legal challenges over drive-through voting sites, too. You may have heard about this controversy. We're joined now by Jen Rice. She is a reporter for Houston Public Media. Jen, where are you now?
Hey, I am outside of Buddy's, which is a gay bar in Houston in the Montrose neighborhood. I just spoke with the owner of the bar here. He told me that it's the first gay bar in the country to serve as a polling location in the presidential election.
Very interesting. And what are you seeing in terms of lines and turnout?
Okay, so obviously the early voting turnout was really strong in Harris County, record-breaking. But having talked with poll workers at several locations today, this evening, what I've heard is really just it's been super slow today. Maybe there were lines in the morning, but not wait. And then it's just been, you know, really slow this evening.
That's interesting as well. And now, what about any voting irregularities? I know back in 2018, there were some reported in Harris County. What are you hearing as of now?
I mean, we've been having all of these legal challenges going on in Harris County, so that's created a lot of chaos and confusion for voters. But I haven't heard of any problems at the polls, except for speaking today with an attorney who works for the Voter Protection Hotline. She was telling me that in Montgomery County, which is just north of Houston, Harris County, they've been having some reported incidents of voter intimidation, a Trump train, where they have firearms and that these people have been doing a lot of activity at polling places today.
The Trump train is not a literal train, folks. We're talking about quite often pickup trucks that are festooned in banners and Trump banners and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see right now? Have the lines completely cleared and the polling site where you are closed?
Yes, the polling location's closed, but obviously this is a bar, so the night is young.
The night is young.
For the folks here at Buddy's.
Right. We've been speaking with Jen Rice. She's a reporter for Houston Public Media and reporting from one of the voting sites today. Up in North Texas, Chris Connolly, a reporter with KERA North Texas, has been monitoring polling places in and around Dallas. Chris, welcome back to The Standard.
Thanks for having me.
So what are you seeing and where are you?
I am at a rec center in Oak Cliff in Dallas, which is they just closed down voting for the night. And you might be able to hear there's just a couple of youth soccer games that are finishing up on the field. But it is similar to Austin and Harris counties. Been pretty slow, but a steady trickle of people coming through. Overall, the numbers around here are unexceptional for election day, kind of coming after those eye-popping numbers during early voting.
So have you had a chance to talk with anyone who's been in line? And have you heard from any first-time voters by any wild chance?
No first-time voters, but, talk to people who are basically kind of, anywhere from showing up to vote because that's what you do on election day. And, I'm just sort of doing my duty, to people who are on pins and needles, who are saying, this is the future of the country being decided tonight. So a range of sort of very emotional, very invested voters, and others who are sort of saying, well, I looked at the candidates and I decided, and, this is where we are.
Dominic Walsh will be joining us from Texas Public Radio in San Antonio in just a moment. But Chris, before we leave you, there's been a whole lot of talk about how this isn't really a battle for whether Texas will be red or blue or purple, name your color. This is really about a battle for the suburbs. Do you have any sense? I mean, Collin County, Tarrant County has been much talked about during this election season. What are you hearing?
Yeah, Tarrant County is, the place to watch. It's sort of long been this Republican stronghold, the biggest, reddest urban county in the country. And it, in 2018, was won by Beto O'Rourke. So the question is that sort of part of a larger, more permanent trend, or will it revert to Republican control? Collin County is the county that everybody's saying, I have been watching politics for years, and I have never seen anybody refer to Collin County as a battleground county. It has always been rock-ribbed conservative up there. So it is interesting. The suburbs are the places to watch. We have, of course, a few congressional races up here that are toss-ups, or are at least, heavily in contention. Lots and lots of spending from both sides and from inside and outside of Texas going to those. And also a whole bunch of seats up here in Tarrant and Dallas counties, but also Collin and Denton counties, seats in the Texas House, the state house, that could really determine whether or not that chamber stays in Republican control or if Democrats are able to take it over in this pivotal redistricting year.
Chris Connolly, reporter with KERA in North Texas. Now it's on to the Alamo City, where Dominic Walsh reports for Texas Public Radio San Antonio. And I gather, Dominic, you've been visiting several polling places in the city today. Where have you landed?
I've landed in a few different spots. Right now, I'm outside the Bexar County Elections Department, just southeast, or southwest, rather, of downtown San Antonio. I actually started out the day on the south side, the far south side, at Southside High School, one of the polling locations where a Trump train gathered.
And you talked with an organizer right here.
Yeah, so Jacinto Martinez, he's a Southside resident, he organized this train. And, you know, there was some concern about potential political intimidation in San Antonio, especially after that Trump train organized here and followed that Biden-Harris bus on Friday. Jacinto Martinez, though, he says that this group was not trying to intimidate anyone, even though there was a large military-style truck at the front of it.
They have a whole bunch of excuses on why Trump supporters are intimidating to them. It doesn't make a difference if I would have come out here in a bike. They would have acted the same way if I was waving a Trump flag. The vehicle is just to catch attention. We get a lot of people's attention. They see what we're out here for. And, you know, they start thinking about it, you know, and they start asking questions, and that's what we want.
But I understand so, that some voters didn't feel comfortable with those tactics, right?
Right. Janet Bush was outside one of the polling sites they arrived at. The Trump train pulled up. It was honking. The people were shouting. And here's what she said.
I'm actually feeling like we as a nation have gone just too far in how we choose to disagree with one another. Disagreeing is not the issue. It's how we're choosing to react and respond to it. It's never been an issue before for us to disagree, never been an issue before for us to be on opposing sides. But I think that we've gotten to a place where we feel like being physical, being intimidating is the answer. And I'm just really, really blown away and really embarrassed as an American that this is where we've come to.
That's the voice of Janet Bush, a voter in Bexar County, speaking with Dominic Walsh of Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. We've also heard from Chris Connolly, reporter with KERA North Texas, Jen Rice, reporter for Houston Public Media, Mose Bouchel, reporter for KUT in Austin, giving us updates on how Election Day 2020 is unfolded across Texas. But what about those numbers, you say? With an eye on what we do know about the Texas vote at this early hour, it's the Texas Standard's own Michael Marks. Michael, what are you hearing?
David, we could cut it short if we wanted and just say very little. It's very, very early with some counties not even turning in results yet. The Texas Secretary of State's page, that's the site where all the votes are eventually going to be tabulated and able to be viewed. We've got no results there, but I did want to bring you just a few very preliminary results from some of those suburban counties you've been talking about. Sounds like I'll have those just on the other side of the break here.
Yes, indeed. Michael Marks is monitoring those numbers as they trickle in, and he's going to be returning to our broadcast in just a few minutes as this special edition, Election Night edition of the Texas Standard continues. Don't touch that dial. Coming up on 19 minutes past the hour.
Hi, this is Ben Philpott, managing editor at KUT in Austin. What will we be watching on election night? Well, let's start with a $700 million transit proposition. The plan, called Project Connect, would create new bus and rail lines across the county. It's, of course, supported by the city, who says congestion will only get worse as the city continues to grow. It's opposed by a collection of groups, including some who want more transit, just not this plan, and others who are opposed to what is expected to be about a 4% increase on a person's total property tax bill if it passes. We're also monitoring city council races. There are 5 seats up for election, and we'll be watching to see if voter reactions to hot-button issues like homelessness and a reduction in the police budget will change the makeup of the city council. Also, one of the congressional districts targeted by national Democrats to flip in 2020 runs through the southern part of central Texas. GOP incumbent Chip Roy is facing former Democratic state senator and gubernatorial candidate Wendy Davis in a contest that could be determined by whether or not the 2018 blue wave in the state's suburbs becomes a blue tsunami in 2020. If it is a tsunami, then there are a couple of congressional seats in North Austin that could also see GOP incumbents lose.
That's the voice of Ben Philpott from KUT Austin. I'm David Brown, and you are listening to a special election night broadcast of the Texas Standard, partnering with our reporting partners from across the state. Deirdre DeLisi is a Republican strategist based in Austin. She's most notably served as former Republican Texas Governor Rick Perry's chief of staff, and she has been keeping tabs on this election day. Deirdre, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine. I think a lot of people very excited to hear how things are going to be turning out because so much is at play. That was an understatement, wasn't it? Very exciting.
Yeah. Yes, this has been a big lead up to this election day, and you know, some people consider this Christmas Day for political nerds like myself. So
Super Bowl or something.
Yeah, Super Bowl. Yeah.
One of the biggest takeaways at this point in the election, since numbers are fairly thin, polls have only been closed for 22-23 minutes or so. We're talking about turnout here, and Texas has seen an unprecedented number of votes, and we're just talking about early voting, to say nothing of what's happened during the course of this Tuesday. What do you think that says about where this election is headed in Texas?
I mean, I think we have a very excited electorate, but anyone who tries to read too much into these numbers to say it benefits one party or the other, I think is missing the point. I think whenever you have a big presidential election, and certainly in the environment that we've seen it going through COVID and everything else, that both sides are energized. And I think what has happened is that's resulted in significant voter turnout on both the Republican and the Democrat side. So, you know, based on those numbers, I can't tell you who's going to win what seat or the other, but I think it's just a win overall for Texas.
Well, of course, one of the biggest questions in the minds of many, whether President Trump will carry Texas again. And if he doesn't, we'd be talking about the first Democratic presidential candidate to win the state since Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
What do you make of those early voting numbers in any exit polls, perhaps, that you've been watching? This talk of turning Texas blue, I mean, that's been said for many election cycles, but is there any reason to believe that things are different?
You're right. That's been the anticipated thing in Texas for a while. And based on these numbers, albeit very early numbers coming in, it does appear that President Trump is going to hold on to Texas. So Joe Biden's path to the presidency will not go through Texas, and Texas will remain Republican, in my opinion.
That was a must, though, for Donald Trump. If he lost those 38 electoral votes, it would be hard to see any... That would be quite the obstacle for a Republican on the way to the White House.
It certainly makes his map virtually impossible. So I know it's probably a relief to his people and his team that the numbers in Texas are coming in very, very strong for Donald Trump at this point.
Having said that, and as a Republican insider, is that safe to say, I suppose, what is your sense of what the Trump presidency has done or has meant to the Republican Party in Texas? There's been a lot of talk about a possible rift between establishment Republicans, certainly at the national level, and some of the Trump supporters here.
You know, it's had its moments, right? I mean, we've had a couple of cycles that have been very hard and very difficult for Republicans and have made Texas a little bit more competitive. But at some point, that was going to be inevitable just based on the demographics of the state. I think what Republicans in Texas respond to are not only Donald Trump's record of accomplishment, and he's done some things that Republicans in Texas can rally around, like Supreme Court justices and his tax bill. But I think what you also see, this is a reflection of how voters respond to Republican leadership in the state. I think Donald Trump benefits significantly from having strong Republicans up and down the ballot, most notably with Greg Abbott and John Cornyn, who also looks like he's putting in a strong showing. So those things help with, offset any anxiety that may come out of Washington, D.C.
Well, you mentioned John Cornyn. There's a race for you. You have the Texas incumbent facing what the Texas Tribune is calling a late Democratic spending blitz by challenger M.J. Hager. You
right.
see that I don't want to say last minute, but maybe 10th or 11th hour momentum making a difference in the outcome. I know that John Cornyn had quite the war chest going in.
Yeah, John Cornyn had raised a lot of money, and he's a very respected person in Texas. I think a lot was made of the 2018 results in the O'Rourke-Ted Cruz race, and I think people thought that they could recreate that magic, that O'Rourke magic with MJ Hagar. But I think what they forgot to keep in mind is that John Cornyn is a very different candidate than Ted Cruz. And he's very seen as very strong, very steady, very reliable. And as a result of 2018, Cornyn went into this race taking nothing for granted. He was raising money early, working hard, had a really good ground game. And I do think it's interesting, this cycle, what we've seen is Texas is, we've kind of flipped the script, right? Where Democrats have had more money than Republicans. You see it on TV. There's been a lot of Democrat super PAC money spent in the state with the hopes of turning it blue. What that has resulted in is the Republicans have gotten to be better in the ground game, and that's something that the Democrats used to beat us at. So it's an interesting cycle for Republicans, certainly, that we weren't the party with the most money, but we appear at this point, based on early data, and of course things could change, that our ground game may make the difference for us in Texas.
We're out of time, but I want to squeeze in this just one simple question. Is there a congressional race or perhaps a Texas House race that you've got your eyes on tonight?
Well, I'm personally keeping my eye on the Chip Roy race. He's a longtime dear friend of mine, so I'm pulling for him. That's highly contested. Obviously, with Wendy Davis running against him, she's a very well-known a person, not only in Texas, but nationally. And I think when it comes to the House, everyone's going to be looking at the makeup of the House. I think the Democrats thought they had a good chance this time of taking control of the Texas House. I don't think that's going to happen based on these early results, but it's certainly making for an interesting and long night watching all of those races from across the state come in.
Deirdre DeLisi, Republican strategist based in Austin. Thanks again.
You're welcome. It's good to talk to you.
We're going
to
have a reaction from a Democratic perspective coming up in just a few minutes. But once again, let's bring in Michael Marks, who's been keeping his eye on the numbers. Anything to report, Michael?
David, we touched on it as we came to air. What's going to happen in the suburbs?
Of course, we've got a technical error there. I think maybe we've got some issues with the internet connection. We're all having to do this reporting remotely, given the pandemic and such. But Michael Marks is still connected to those numbers, and he's going to be bringing them to us as soon as possible. In fact, that may be coming up in just a couple of minutes as our special coverage of election night across the Lone Star State continues. Don't touch that dial. I'm David Brown, and it's great to have you with us as we approach 29 minutes past the hour.
Live from the Texas Newsroom, I'm Sasha Kortner. There have been reports of voter intimidation throughout the state. Texas Tech Public Media, Sarah Self-Walbrick, has a story of one young voter's racist experience in Lubbock.
Ashley Lewis says she walked out of the Catholic church she voted at Tuesday feeling good about casting a provisional ballot. She's a Texas Tech student who has registered to vote back home in Dallas. It was her first time voting in person. As she walked to her car, a man in a white pickup truck yelled at her.
He goes, can't wait to see you up in that tree tomorrow. And it took me a second to, like, realize what he said.
Lewis is an African-American woman. She says she didn't feel personally threatened by the man's racist comment, but she does worry for other people of color. I'm Sarah Self-Walbrick in Lubbock.
Polls in most of Texas have closed at this point, but voters were in line by 7 p.m. must be allowed to cast their ballots. David Donati is a staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas.
If you get in line, stay in line. It doesn't matter how late you actually end up casting your ballot. So long as you're there before the polls officially close, you are legally entitled to cast your vote.
Donati says if voters encounter any issues at the polls or have any questions, they can call the Election Protection Hotline at 866-OUR-VOTE. Voters in El Paso, where the local time is just after 6:30, still have time to get in line at their polling places. Thousands of residents have already cast their ballots today as the West Texas city continues to face a COVID-19 crisis. The pandemic was top of mind for voter Gail Mizet.
All this pandemic and all that stuff is sad. You know, and if you look at it, it's very sad.
Meanwhile, Joachim Graziani explains he wasn't originally planning to cast his ballot today.
For me, it's the time. You know, I want to vote earlier, but I'm working and I work 12 hours a day.
Eddie Reyes, who always waits until election day to vote, explained how he's feeling.
It feels like I feel like my vote has to count.
Mizek, Graziani, and Reyes were all speaking with Anai Diaz, a journalism student at UT El Paso. And polls in a couple of Texas counties are staying open for an extra hour tonight because they opened late this morning. Mimi Marziani heads the Texas Civil Rights Project. One of the affected areas was Upshur County in East Texas.
There were technical issues with the county's voting systems. Voting was stalled until somewhere around 9 a.m., but the county has extended voting hours until 8 p.m. tonight.
Hidalgo County and the Rio Grande Valley is also keeping all 74 of its voting sites open until 8 p.m. Central Time. That's because 10 polling locations had laptop issues that slowed down the check-in process for voters. I'm Sasha Cordner for the Texas Standard.
I'm Laurie Johnson with Houston Public Media. We're gearing up for election night, and the big question is whether Republicans will maintain their hold on statewide offices, or will Democrats turn Texas blue, or maybe blue-ish? In the Houston region, we're watching Congressional District 22 in Fort Bend County. That's an open seat with Pete Olson retiring, and it's considered one of the most competitive House races in Texas. Most analysts rate it a toss-up right now between Democratic candidate Sri Preston Kulkarni and Republican Troy Nels. Another race to watch is Congressional District 2, where Democrats are targeting incumbent Dan Crenshaw. Crenshaw is a former Navy SEAL who shot to national prominence after being the butt of a joke on Saturday Night Live. He's very popular with his base, so flipping the seat would be highly significant for the Democrats. His opponent is Houston attorney Seema Lajavardian. And of course, the U.S. Senate race between John Cornyn and MJ Hagar. Hagar is a long shot, but if a blue wave takes over Texas, it's possible that Democrats could capture a Texas Senate seat for the first time in nearly three decades.
That is the voice of Laurie Johnson, executive producer of news at Houston Public Media. And you are listening to a special election night edition of the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. We are joined now by Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, who is Assistant Dean for Civic Engagement and a lecturer at the University of Texas's Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs. Professor DeFrancesco Soto, great to have you back with us.
Great evening. Good to be with you on this amazing night.
I always enjoy this because the excitement of an election, we get a chance to talk with you, it seems like, and that's a delight to have you back. What have you made out so far when it comes to the early voting turnout and what you're hearing about how things have transpired over this election day, Vicky?
Right. So the early vote numbers are really historic. I mean, regardless of what happens tonight, regardless of who Texas votes for in the presidential and what the down ballot races look like, the headline for Texas is the record-shattering turnout. And the record-shattering turnout across the board, especially among Latinos who tend to have lower turnout rates, and also among young folks who we have seen through data from the Circle Tufts Project, which tracks youth voting, we have seen Texas lead the nation in early voting youth turnout. So I think this is really important to take away from this election. Now, in going forward and what happens here in Texas, again, regardless of what happens, the state is changing. It may not flip to blue. Trump may very well still win the state. But what we've seen in the narrowing of the polls, where Democrats are gaining a foothold where before they couldn't even get their foot in the door. So I think these are things that we know for sure, even without having the official results in.
You know, I hear from a lot of listeners who make a very fair criticism about the coverage of these election cycles, especially in Texas, given its reputation as solidly Republican. On the ground, you know that that's not the case. It's a lot of this comes down to turnout. But I want to go back to what you were talking about a little bit more when it comes to young people and Latino voters. It's long been presumed that especially young voters, they just don't care that much to go out and cast a ballot. What's changed? Does it come down to Trump or is there something else?
It's a combination of factors. And I think that over the last couple of months where all of us have been affected by the pandemic, and I think young folks especially, where this is that moment where they are starting off in life, where they're supposed to be graduating from high school or starting college or starting that new job, they're hampered because of the pandemic. So politics has become a lot more tangible and a lot more real to them. And one of the reasons we don't see young people as active in politics as we do older folks is because politics isn't as relatable. Young folks aren't paying a mortgage, they're not paying taxes, they're not as invested in the political system. But I think one of the major changes right now is the pandemic. And then we layer on top of that the political crises we've seen from the murder of Mr. George Floyd to the immigration policies of the Trump administration. And over the last 4 years, and especially these 9 months, politics has become a lot more personal for those 18 to 29-year-olds.
I don't want to throw you a curveball here, Vicky, but because I know that you're doing a lot of media appearances tonight. You are a hot commodity, and I'm glad that we're able to get you into our broadcast tonight. But given the little bits and pieces you've been able to pick up as the vote comes in across the nation, is there anything that you're seeing or hearing sort of in your peripheral senses that gives you a sense of what this could all mean for Texas once the night's done?
I think Texas, and it's not me being so popular, it's Texas being so popular, right? We went from a state that was seen as solidly red to purplish. And I think this purplish is being highlighted by the fact that states like Florida are completely out of reach. I mean, I think the early numbers are coming in for Biden, and we're seeing that it's going to be really hard for him. And now Texas looks like it may be within reach for Biden. So I think that makes Texas even more important.
Very interesting.
As we get into the home stretch.
Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, Assistant Dean for Civic Engagement, lecturer at the University of Texas's LBJ School. 39 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time's a whole lot more ahead. Stay with us.
This is Dan Katz, news director at Texas Public Radio, and we've got some very close races that we're monitoring in the San Antonio area. Congressional District 23 is one of them. It's a true swing district and a pretty large one geographically. It runs from San Antonio along the border to just outside of El Paso. Republican Will Hurd has held on to the seat since 2015, before announcing his retirement last year. Democrat Gina Ortiz-Jones is running again after narrowly losing to Hurd by just 47 votes in the 2018 midterms. She's running against Republican Tony Gonzalez. Our newsroom is also paying close attention to the 21st Congressional District, which historically has not been a swing district. Republican Lamar Smith held on to the seat for more than 30 years before retiring in 2018. And right now, it's a toss-up. Freshman Republican Chip Roy, a strong supporter of President Trump, is being challenged by Democrat Wendy Davis. She gained national attention in 2013 when she filibustered a bill that would have restricted women's access to abortion. The 21st District spans from San Antonio through a wide swath of the Hill Country to Austin. The city of San Antonio has three sales tax propositions on the ballot. One would fund a COVID-19 economic recovery plan. Another would fund public transportation initiatives, and a third would support San Antonio's city-funded preschool, Pre-K for SA. In addition to some high-profile races and ballot initiatives, we're monitoring issues at the polls, along with potential protests, and the state's use of the National Guard on Election Day.
That is Dan Katz, news director for Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. You know, a few minutes ago, we were speaking with a Republican insider. Now let's get a perspective from the other side of the aisle. Glenn Smith is a Democratic strategist and senior strategist for Progress Texas. He is former campaign manager for Ann Richards' 1990 gubernatorial campaign. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us tonight on this special edition of The Standard.
Oh, so happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So I'll start roughly the same way we did with our Republican strategist tonight, and that's with the unprecedented number of early votes made in this election in Texas. What are the Democrats here making of that?
Well, I think it's great. First of all, it's great news for Texas, period. So I'm glad everybody's getting out to vote. That's how democracy is supposed to work. I think in Texas, Democrats have far more room to grow their vote than Republicans. Republicans kind of capped out in over time, and Democrats have not been voting like they should. We have a lot of room for growth. So as the turnout grows, Democrats do better. The better the turnout, the better chances Democratic candidates have. So the high early vote totals in important places are good news for Democrats.
One of the things before we get too far away, you know, the rearview mirror, you look back at some of the headlines of the past several months. And I can recall seeing the New York Times, many other the national newspapers talking about Texas as a real battleground state in the presidential race. Do you think that at the end of this evening, we'll be talking about Joe Biden having won Texas? Seriously?
It's a little bit early to give him the win in Texas, but I'll tell you, it's darn close. I point something out, going back a bit into history. In 1994, when Ann Richards lost to George W. Bush, I wasn't involved in that campaign, like 1990, but when she lost, the difference was in Collin County, Denton County, and Williamson County. And those were the new Republican strongholds. Tonight, it looks like Democrats have won Williamson County and have neutralized the Republican leads in Collin County and Denton County. That is the future of Texas. It's that dramatic. Those places Republicans counted on over all these years, we are now even or they are behind. And that's great news for Democrats.
Let's talk a little bit more about something that you said there. Williamson County, you say it appears that Democrats have won in Williamson County?
That's the last thing I saw before I got ready to come on your show. I'm not sitting at my computer any longer, but it looks like Democrats won it. Yeah, the last I looked.
That would be quite significant indeed. Williamson County, for those who don't know, is just north of Travis County and has long been considered a sort of a Republican stronghold. And if that does hold out, then it would appear that we're talking about one of the bigger stories out of this election night, being the battle for the suburbs, having gains for Democrats in those suburbs.
No, I think that's what's happening everywhere, actually. And that's what's true in Collin County and Denton County. That's probably going to help the Democrats take back the state house if we can. It's the voters in those suburban areas around the big cities. First, there's been a lot of in-migration. But secondly, they're disappointed in Republican policies over the years. They have not liked, especially female voters, have not taken kindly to Donald Trump, which has helped us enormously. So those areas, those suburban areas, Fort Bend County and outside of Houston already turned blue. Montgomery County north of Houston is going to stay red. But those Collin and Dentons and Williamsons, look out for the future, because like I said, they were the bellwethers for Republicans. They're the ones they counted on, and it looks like Democrats have, at the very least, neutralized their leads in those counties.
What do you think that accounts for that? Is this the Trump effect, sort of a backlash against the policies of President Trump?
I think that's some of it, certainly. I mean, he certainly has sort of dramatically driven away some voters who had kind of reliably voted Republicans over the years, basically because they were in the habit of doing that.
But there are demographic factors here as well, right? I mean, there's the better educated voters with somewhat more affluent. And that's what we're talking about in places like Tarrant County and Williamson County.
That's part of what's happened, right? So like one of the things that's funny, it's like Texas has recruited a lot of high-tech businesses to move here, and their employees have moved to places like Collin and Denton and Williamson, right? But they are far more liberal voters. So they have liberalized the suburbs outside of the big cities as high tech has moved in and opened shops in those places. You are certainly right about that. But that's not the only reason. Republicans have for a long time been able to hide from the consequences of their policies, right? And that's from everything from health care to transportation to jobs to low pay. And it's caught up to them. And people are recognizing it all over Texas. And the Republicans are unable to hide from it. So watch out for the future. I think tonight's going to be great for Texas Democrats, but it's going to be better at 2 years and 4 years and 6 years and 8 years.
We're just about out of time. I'm wondering if there are any congressional races in particular that you have your eye on tonight.
I'm actually looking at the reelection races of people like Congresswoman Fletcher in Houston more than I'm eyeballing the ones we can take. We're going to take some of them, but because I've been so focused on the top of the ballot, I've been wanting to see how we do in the defense races. And she's one of those that's in the Houston area with a strong challenger. She's going to win, I think. I think we may pick up two or three congressional seats, and a word about that. Also, over the years, it was the Republicans taking more rural and suburban congressional seats from Democrats that really hurt us. You want to know why? Because in those races, every 2 years, we had a lot of paid advertising from our congresspeople on things like Social Security and health care. And we lost that when we lost those seats and they became uncompetitive. and we weren't communicating to all those millions of voters in those formerly Democratic congressional districts. Hmm. Now we're coming back. After redistricting, if we take the state house, we'll be at parity in the congressional delegation, if not ahead. It will have that communication ability across Texas. I'm looking forward to that day.
Glenn Smith is a Democratic strategist and senior strategist for Progress Texas. He was the campaign manager for Ann Richards' 1990 gubernatorial campaign. We all remember Ann Richards. Mr. Smith, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us on the Texas Standard.
Oh, really happy to be with you. Take care.
All right, let's turn now to Michael Marks, who's monitoring the numbers. Michael, we lost you last time. What do you have for us?
David, one of those targets for Democrats in the suburbs was...
I can't believe it. I think we may have lost you again, Michael. Can you
hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Quickly. Oh, we've lost you again. We're having some technical issues. You know how the internet does its thing, especially, Wi-Fi and the vicissitudes thereof. But we're going to have him on, I promise. We're going to get this connection locked in. Coming up on 49 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time, there's more election night coverage across the Lone Star State. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Rick Holter, Vice President of News for KERA in North Texas. We're following three main local themes tonight: Congress, the State House, and a couple of local votes. First is Congress. Democrats in Texas need to gain 5 U.S. House seats statewide to even the score with Republicans. And they have a shot at 3 or maybe even 4 in this part of the state. The biggest target is District 24, a longtime Republican seat in the suburbs between Dallas and Fort Worth. The incumbent's retiring, and the Republican is Beth Van Dyne, a former Irving mayor. She angered Muslims with comments about Sharia law a few years back. The Democrat is Candace Valenzuela. She's a local school board member who could become the first Black Latina in Congress. We're also keeping an eye on 2 other suburban seats Dems are hoping to flip: District 3 in Collin County, and District 6, which starts in Arlington and spreads south. Democrats are also dreaming of flipping the State House, and North Texas is ground zero in that effort. The bellwether here is a rematch in District 108 between Morgan Meyer and Joanna Katnack. Meyer, a Republican, won by just 220 votes a couple of years ago. There's also an interesting sheriff's race in Tarrant County. The incumbent, Republican Bill Wayburn, is white and has been a vocal Trump supporter. The Democrat, Vance Keyes, is a Black Fort Worth police officer. He's focused on problems at the county jail that Wayburn runs. And one final thing, Dallas is voting on the biggest bond package in Texas history, $3.7 billion in all, for schools.
That is the voice of Rick Holter, Vice President of News at KERA North Texas. I'm David Brown, and you're listening to special election night coverage from the Texas Standard. Almost an hour after polls have closed in Texas, we're joined now by Brandon Rottinghouse, Professor of Political Science at the University of Houston. Brandon, welcome back. Good to talk with you, sir.
You too, David.
I know you're in Harris County. Big numbers for voter turnout there. Your takeaways?
I think this has been a historic election. It's great to see so many people voting. Democrats had hoped that this number would definitely get them into the win column, but it's not so clear it will. We see Texas moving in a direction where, like Paul Burka once said, it's an urban state with a rural soul. You've got tremendous turnout for Democrats in big urban areas, but they're not winning in suburban areas in significant enough numbers, and they're not getting any kind of traction in rural areas to be able to make up those differences. So this is going to be a tough night for Democrats statewide.
You know, don't be fooled by some of these early numbers that we're getting. Right now, we have Joseph Biden with 51%, roughly almost 52% of the Texas vote in the presidential race. Donald Trump at 47%. Too early for that to be determinative, or how does that go down with you, Brandon?
Yeah, it's still early. You know, there's definitely a lot of votes left to count. And we do know, of course, that, you know, county officials are doing their best to be able to get us an accurate count in a reasonable time. So we're used to a kind of game show atmosphere where we can kind of watch the returns come in.
Right.
But realistically, we should be patient. So those numbers definitely don't tell us everything. But we do know, of course, that the rural vote's going to come in a little bit later. That's going to take some extra time to count. And we do know that Republicans tended to vote later in the time of COVID. So we are going to see probably a bit of a red shift here in some of these races.
Brandon, you've literally written the book. I've said this on several occasions. You've literally written the book on Texas politics. And I'm wondering if you're going to have to add a new chapter after tonight. That's the question. I mean, it seems to me if we are talking about, in fact, some kind of tipping point, which had been discussed in the run-up to this day.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I need to expand the part about Texas turning blue. It's still a question mark because obviously the state's still in transition, but the features look good for Texas Democrats. Even if this cycle doesn't change the state, we know that in the future you're going to see the young people voting in bigger numbers. You're going to see the state moving more towards an ethnic and racial minority increase. That's African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans. That mix is a mix that Democrats like. So this might not be the right time to see Texas blue, but we're definitely talking about at least a purple Texas.
Now, it's interesting because you're being very measured about what you're saying here, that this may not be the election. We're hearing quite a bit of that as in these early hours after the closing polls across most of Texas. What I'm wondering about is, what if not this election cycle with these particular dynamics? What would it take for that to be more pronounced in Texas? I mean, if 4 years of Donald Trump, if that is not enough to activate that, well, blue wave is the term that's used quite a bit. What would it take?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that, you know, Democrats looked on this cycle as being very favorable for them, and it clearly was, and we're definitely seeing that. Democrats have fielded competitive candidates up and down the ballot. I think one factor that maybe didn't play in their favor was that they didn't get like early money quick enough, so a lot of down ballot races didn't have the money early. Mm-hmm. We also saw a late infusion of money into the Senate race and to the race for Railroad Commission. That's something that needed to come much earlier, and we might be talking about a different race if that's the case.
Is there any particular race that you're looking at beyond the race for the White House, obviously, in the Senate?
You know, my kind of home stomping ground is Collin County and, of course, neighboring Dallas County. Dallas County has been more blue, and you've got a couple of incumbents there, Republicans who are fighting for their political lives. Collin County has been shifting more blue since 2000. It's been one of those counties that's really moved towards the Democrats. There are a couple of incumbent Republicans there who have gotten really spirited challenges from Democrats. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, because if Collin County in particular shifts more to the Democrats, it's going to make it more challenging for Republicans to hold on to suburban Texas.
Brandon Rodinghouse is professor of political science at the University of Houston. Brandon, I think it's going to be a long night. Thanks for spending a bit of it with us. We sure do appreciate it.
Anytime, David.
All right. Now, fingers crossed, we're going to go back to Michael Marks. He's been having a little bit of we've been having some connection difficulties here, but I think we may have them patched up. Michael, can you hear us?
David, I have you loud and clear.
Good. All right. Yeah, we're coming in. It's like, you know, come in, Michael Marks. Okay.
All right. Well, let's
so
get it in.
What do you have? What do you have in terms of the numbers now?
Well, one of the targets that we've been hearing, David, about Democrats in the suburbs was Texas' 2nd Congressional District near Houston. That's currently held by Republican Representative Dan Crenshaw.
Yep.
He will continue to hold it, the Associated Press calling the race for him over Democratic challenger Sima Lajavardhan. Also, Professor Rodinghouse talking to us about Collin County up there in the DFW area. Right now, President Trump, with a 4 percentage point edge over Joe Biden. John Cornyn with a similar lead over MJ Hager. Also a lead for Representative Van Taylor, a Republican that Democrats thought might be vulnerable, and a lead for Genevieve Collins. She is running against Democratic Representative Colin Allred, who flipped that seat from incumbent Pete Sessions in 2018. So, again, we should say big grains of salt here. It is still early, but some promising returns for at least a red-ish or more purple Collin County than blue. Also, Glenn Smith earlier in the program was talking about Williamson County, north of Boston.
Right.
Right now, David, a very purple picture. Biden with a narrow lead over Trump, while John Cornyn has a slim lead over MJ Hager. Representative John Carter leading his Democratic challenger, Donna Imam. We heard, too, about Denton County, David. That's in the DFW area. Donald Trump leading Joe Biden by about 5.5 percentage points. and John Cornyn with a lead over MJ Hager. That's in the double digits. However, like we said, David, should still be early. The Texas Secretary of State's website is having some trouble, so it's hard to get a full statewide picture at the moment, but breaking down some of the county-by-county numbers,
yep.
That's what it looks like less than an hour of having those early
yep.
totals in our hands.
Well, going to take our time, do it right, get the numbers, just the numbers, making no predictions here. You can keep it right here all night long for the very latest in election night coverage. I'm David Brown, on behalf of the entire Texas Standard crew, wishing you a wonderful election evening.